Well, we learned the lesson in life that anything worth doing is worth doing well. Things that are worth doing take time, energy, skills, resources, and talent. But as I said, that's a lesson we all have to learn in life. When Samantha was about 3, she was an expert at sign language. She would walk up to Karen or me and go, and then just stare at us, thinking, well, didn't you catch on to what I was saying? And she'd do it again. And sometimes she'd speak to us in her made-up language of lint and also be confused that we didn't know what she was saying to us because she hadn't yet learned that if you think you're doing it right and you're not, it doesn't really count. Anything worth doing well takes time and effort. If you want to be good at your job, well, you have to work hard at it and invest yourself in it. If you truly do want to learn a foreign language, lint we don't count, you have to work at it. It takes concentration, effort, and practice. If you play sports, even if you have natural talent, it still takes all kinds of time, energy, commitment, training to do that. If you want a good marriage, if you want a strong family, well, you know that does not come easily. There is a lot of hard work invested in it. That is just the way life is. And that's also the way the church is. Because you see, the church, the community of God, the people who make up this community of God, we know that the church is a gift from God to us, formed through faith in Jesus Christ, empowered and led by the Holy Spirit. But the church is also the product of the hard work of those of us who are in the church, who make up the church. And that is as true today as it was 2,000 years ago when the Christian church was something brand new. Now, you've heard me say in the past that I've heard people all through my years of ministry go, oh man, if we could just go back to the good old days of the early church, wouldn't it be great? And my answer to them is always, no, 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 you don't want that. Another Sam story. Karen and I brought Sam home from the hospital as a newborn baby on January 1st, 1987. Now again, when we had our first daughter, we had been married for 7 years. We were both in our 30s. We both had our college degrees. We were both working. And we brought our newborn baby home. We put her in her car seat in the dining room. We looked at each other and said, what have we done? We don't know how to be parents. We're going to kill her. Because you know what? When you start out as new parents, there is so much you don't know. When the Christian church started out, folks, at times it was a mess. Because you know what? It was brand new to everyone. There was no Christian church to build upon, to learn from. Those very first Christians started something brand new. Second thing we need to know about the early church is no one had ever grown up in the church. Now, most of us, we've got a church background. We know about the church, but that's not the way it was for the first Christians. They were all converts from Judaism or other religions. There's the old adage in the church, well, we've always done it that way. First Christians couldn't say that because they hadn't done it anyway. Third thing we need to remember about the early church is that they faced a lot of problems. They wanted a pure and a perfect church, but unfortunately, back then and today, there is one small problem that keeps the church from being pure and perfect, and that is it's got people in it. And unfortunately, none of us are 100% pure or perfect. And the early church in the city of Corinth in ancient Greece was an example of that. This was a church that was filled with strife and dissent. They followed different leaders in the church. First, there were some who said, oh, we follow Paul. And there were others who followed this guy you heard about in the lesson. We follow Apollos, who was another early Christian apostle. Or we follow Peter, or we follow Jesus Christ himself. They had a way of messing up the gospel. Now, that never happens today because we all know the Bible inside and out, right? We know all of our Lutheran doctrine. But in the early days of the church, there were some in the church, especially in Corinth, who heard the gospel and they misunderstood it, or they twisted it, or they turned it around to serve themselves. My favorite is that there were those in the church who took this wonderful tack. They said, well, if Jesus Christ died to forgive my sins, then my sins are forgiven. And if my sins are forgiven, whatever I do is not really a sin. And here comes a great leap of logic. Therefore, I can do whatever I want. Doesn't that sound wonderful? They claimed to have wisdom, they claimed to have insight, but they didn't. And they made the church a mess. And that's why the Apostle Paul kept writing letters to the Corinthians. He had to straighten them out. and show them what the gospel and the church were to be really about. He writes these words, "I could not speak to you as a spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ." Says Paul, you maybe think you're grown-up, mature Christians, you Corinthians, but you know what? You're not. You are little baby Christians. You're not ready for the solid food of the gospel. And Paul didn't mince words with them. He said, your divided loyalties, this thinking that some of you are better than others, they only go to hurt the church. And he reminds them of the work that all the different apostles who had come to Corinth had done for the church. Paul says, I planted. He says, Apollos watered. But God is the one who gives growth. And then he reminds them of the role of apostles and all of us in the church. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. Paul equates the church to a field growing or a building under construction. And he talks about his role in all of this. And listen to what he says. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid the foundation and someone else is building on it. Paul calls himself a skilled master builder. He uses a Greek word for this that we all know. The word for skilled master builder in Greek is the word architektos, English architect, someone who builds building. Paul calls himself an architect in building up the church. He started it. He laid the foundation of the church. But now others are continuing the work which Paul started. And he declares to the Corinthians, each builder must choose with care how to build on it. And he reminds the church that a building can only have one foundation. If you try to build a building with two different foundations, you are in trouble. And he tells us that the one foundation of the church is Jesus Christ. And that introduction brings me now to talking about what we're talking about this week and next week. Our stewardship program here at Grace this fall, which I'm calling Building on a Solid Foundation. Grace Lutheran Church, like any other Christian church, has to be built on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. If the church is not built on Jesus Christ, if it's built upon likes or personalities, it is not a strong church. It has to stand on Jesus Christ. And I'm very happy to share with all of you that I truly believe that Grace Lutheran Church has been firmly built on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. For over 50 years, this congregation has been proving that through its ministry, its work, its deeds, the way it cares for others. Founded back in 1965, this church and all those who've been here this last half century, they have worked long and hard, just like the Apostle Paul or Apollos and Peter, to plant, to water, to build this church. The work of Pastor Jerry Peterson, our founding pastor, who was here for 35 years. The work of those of you, a few of you who are still here back in 1965, or who have been here all through the years, those who've been part of the ministry of this church, some of whom have now died and gone to be with the church triumphant. They have built this church. They are the ones through the year who have taught the children and adults at Grace the good news of Jesus Christ. They are those who have helped those in our community and in the world through the gospel. They are those who have led us in worship and praise of God. They are those who have taken care of this building to make sure that it is in good shape and help expand it through the years. They are those who have watered and planted the church so it grows. And they have given us a solid foundation. Our recent building program, just completed a year and a half ago, has now provided us with this beautiful new building, a literal brick, steel, mortar, and concrete foundation on which we base the work of the gospel today and in the future. And such an important part to all that has happened these last few years has been your financial support to the work and ministry of the gospel. We've shared the numbers with you before, but they're worthwhile sharing again. You, the people of Grace, you contributed over $950,000 to our Grow in Grace building program, which enabled us to construct our new facilities. And now that we have our new mortgage here, again, before we built, a lot of folks don't know this, our annual church mortgage was $19,000 a year, probably less than some of you pay for your houses, right? Well, we now have a church mortgage of $125,000 a year, 600% increase in our mortgage. But you were helping to pay for that. In 2016, you increased your giving to the regular ministries, to our church budget, by $50,000. This year, you have made a commitment, and we think we'll see about $60,000 in increased giving this year. You have been generous. You have been very generous in opening your wallets to the work of the church. Grace does have a solid foundation. We have this building. We have what I like to think is a very good and dedicated church staff. We have ministries and programs that serve here and outside of our church using your time, your talents, your dollars, and there's a lot of sharing that goes on here at Grace. We have a solid foundation, and now we have the opportunity to build on that foundation. The building program is done, and now I like to think we get to look forward to the fun part, and that is using this building, using everything to move forward as the people of God for ministry in the future. And we can build upon this solid, strong foundation we have. And that's what we're looking at in 2018 and beyond. Now, I'm not going to go into the details this week. You're going to get a letter after next Sunday that will explain a lot of the details. You'll get another wonderful brochure that's been put together thanks to Steve Kornick's excellent work. And you're going to get a lot more information. But let me just today share the general goals we have this year in our stewardship program. Number one is we want to build a solid foundation by giving away more money to those outside of Grace. Through the history of our church, we've had a tradition of giving away at least 10% of our offerings to those outside of the church, to our greater church, to other ministries. When we did the big building program and our budget and our mortgage shot way up, we fell below that 10%. Our number one goal this year is to get back to that 10% level of giving so that we can continue that excellent work we have done in the past. Our second goal this year is to make sure that your church staff is adequately paid for the work they do on your behalf. Everybody likes to get a deserved raise, and we want to make sure that our staff continues to have that. The third thing we want to do in the next year is to make sure that we take care of this building. 2017 has kind of been a year where we figure out how much the new building costs to run. We've learned a lot. And so there will be some increases in our budget next year just to make sure that this beautiful new facility we have created will continue to be a well-cared-for place in which we live and do ministry. And finally, with gift number four, we want to strengthen two areas of specific ministry. We want to give more for youth ministry here at our church. We have a great youth ministry program. As you can tell, Grace is a church with lots and lots of kids. Our services maybe sometimes are a little noisy, but you know what, folks? I'd much rather have a noisy service than a dead, quiet one. And we want to give more money this year to help with our youth ministry programs. Earlier this year, you gave over $5,000 to our special Youth Matters Appeal. And that money has helped our kids this year. It will help them next year as well. Thank you for that. We also want to have more money so that we can do a better job of promoting our congregation in the community. So people know about Grace, so they want to come here, so we do a better job of reaching out. And we have one special offering goal next year. This year we had two special offerings, next year one, and that is to help the Circle of Empowerment in Nicaragua. Next February, we are sending a mission team down to Nicaragua to work with Meg and her folks down there. I'm very happy that my wife, Karen, and Sam, and I are able to go this year. And we want to, after that mission trip, we are asking the Circle of Empowerment to come up with two specific ministries that we can support down in Nicaragua. And you'll be hearing more about that in early 2018. All of this gospel work is done through your individual offerings. This year in 2017, the overwhelming majority of you increased your giving from the previous year, and we thank you for that. And we're asking you to do the same thing next year. And you'll be happy to know that after these years of big, big budget increases, we're looking at a much more modest budget increase next year. I think we all need to know that. That's important for us to know. But we all need to do our part for the work of the gospel. We have this solid foundation. And every one of us, in one way or another, we are an architect. We are a skilled master builder who does our job, our part in building up the body of Christ. And we all need to follow those words with which Jesus concludes the Sermon on the Mount. We need to hear his words. We need to act upon his words. So we build our individual lives, and we build the church on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Doing this is good work. Doing this is profitable work. Doing this is holy work. Doing this is work that changes lives, and doing this is work that changes eternities. So may we each prayerfully begin to consider what we will do to help build an even stronger foundation in our church in the years ahead. Amen.